As you were telling the children's story earlier, Ingrid, I had been working on this and thinking the word transformation, the word change hadn't come to me, if you can believe that. But it brings to mind a joke. Have you heard this one? How many Mennonites does it take to change a light bulb? Change? Who's talking about change? That's different Mennonites, not us. I like to fix things. Houses and cars and electrical and plumbing and whatever, toasters. It's just fun. Actually, you could put this on the list of crazy things I know about Gary. Once in a while, I buy a wrecked car and I stick it in the garage and I putter on it for a year or whatever, fixing it up just for relaxation. I won't tell you this. That's also why I'm a pastor. I like fixing things. But it's just a kind of a fun thing to do. And I know a lot of you like that too, transforming things and giving them life again. I see some of you, you take scraps of cloth that most of us would throw away and make beautiful quilts or pillows or whatever out of it. It's amazing. Or some of you take flour or sugar or whatever, and I realize those aren't broken. They're just not real edible by themselves. And you turn them into Christmas baking that make the rest of us gain 10 pounds because it's so good. Some of you take paint. For me, paint is something that changes the color of a wall. Some of you take paint and make beautiful artwork. It's just amazing. I have a piece that a good friend of mine painted. I'm going to be bringing it soon and hanging it in the wall. It's based on Ezekiel. You just can sit transfixed by these things as they draw you in and make you think. Some of you take sounds and make them into music. Some of you take words and make them into poetry or prose that just hold us. Well, you can hear it goes on and on. And, well, some of us try and transform people like our spouses, and that doesn't work so good. Go practice on your kids. But you know what's happening with this, don't you? What's happening is that we are reflecting the creative nature of God, which is within us. We are born in the image of God, and that's part of it. Some people have to marry creative people to get that into their lives. That's okay too. Some people are very linear, you know, it's great. But we are reflecting the creative nature of God in our lives. The passage that Kathy read from Isaiah 35 is wonderful. There's lots of imagery in there about transformation. The first image is that of the body. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the lame will walk, etc. And you can picture that, right? And then it talks about water transforming the wilderness and making it life-giving, or a way that was dangerous before becomes safe. It talks about transforming our emotions from being sad to being full of joy. That's transformation. The Magnificat, the passage from Luke chapter 1, also speaks about change, God coming in and effecting change where it needs to be, the hungry and the humble and the poor and so forth. And we read this material, and it kind of gives us a bit of a warm fuzzy. God wants to fix things that are broken. And so we take a look at what goes on. We've mentioned repeatedly about Syria, what goes on in Syria, and we think about the 10.4 million refugees that are currently exist in our world, and God cares, and we are glad. Or the 800,000 people who don't get enough food in a given day and don't have access to safe water, and God cares, and we are glad. Or the 15 million children who die of preventable things every year. And God cares, and we are glad. And we participate in that to some extent as we get involved with Community Kitchen and Winnipeg Harvest and other things. Or if we work through some of the programs we just heard about, mittens and toques needed in up north. And we can help. God cares, and so do we. And it's wonderful. We also think about broken relationships, about social change that God brings about. And God cares about that. Families that are pulling apart and estranged and marriages that fall apart and all that kind of thing. And God cares deeply about that. And that's good. And he invites us to work at that too. And then we get a little closer to home, some of the things we talked about last week that stand in the way of us having a good relationship. And God works at transforming these too. Things like our anger and our greed and pride and selfishness and arrogance and all those things that kind of show up. And you know, I mean, we appreciate that. We appreciate that like we appreciate a good gym, right? You go there and work hard and it affects change in your life. And so we know this is going to be painful when God does this work in us, but we're glad anyhow, right? Yes, we are. But, and you know this is coming when you read the Bible. It just always does. You work through the material and we end up saying, oh, that's nice. Christmas is about God changing things and we're glad, even the hard things. And then it lands up with a but, and it always does this. Are you ready? Okay, three things that come out of this. First of all, the passage in Matthew chapter 1 doesn't just talk about changing things we want changed. In the passage, what we find out is there's some stuff that was broken that we didn't think was broken. God, I hate this. What the passage identifies is pride and wealth and power. Now, there's nothing wrong with any of them in the proper place. Pride is important in terms of building our sense of self-esteem and pride in what we do and pride in who we are and all of those things. Wonderful. Money and wealth is a good thing, too. There's a lot of things that we can do with that. It just makes things work. It's how we've worked things out. And power is important. Power allows us to do things without there being constant chaos, right? Even within the church, we empower people to lead worship service or do music, even preach. Imagine that. We empower people to do things and then they can do them. Without power, they can't. And so power is good. But what the passage is talking about is when things get out of line. Mark 10. It's a story about this young ruler who comes to Jesus and says, "What do I need to do to inherit eternal life?" And the guy's coming, looking for a pat on the back, and don't get so hard on him. We all do that, right? How was the food? You're not asking for people to say, well, could have used a little more oregano. You're looking for them to say, wow, that was amazing. And that's all good. And so that's what this guy's doing too. The guy comes to Jesus and says, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And it turns out that the guy has kept every rule since he was like this big. And he does it all right, and he gives his money, and he goes to church. And Jesus is supposed to say, wow, you're a model. You're our new poster child. But what does Jesus do? He says, he looks at him, and he goes, take all your money, give to the poor, and come and follow me. And the guy goes, oh, man. No, that wasn't broken. It was okay. Leave it alone. And we come with those things too. And sometimes it's our wealth like this guy, and sometimes it's our use of power, and sometimes it's lots of things that are okay until they take a place in our life where they don't belong. Until we no longer submit that area to God. And then it's broken, and then it needs change. And so what we're invited to do in this passage is ask ourselves, what do we put under the lordship of Jesus Christ, if some of you understand that language? What do we allow Jesus to be in charge of in our life? Or what don't we? And whatever's going on in your life is what you need to plug in there.
whether it's relationships or finances or jobs or school or kids or whatever it is. You plug it in there, and I'm going to let you figure the rest of that one out. There's stuff in our life we don't think is broken that God says, oh yeah, that needs some transformation. Off you go with that one. The second part of this is in terms of transformation is sometimes when we follow God, it turns our life upside down like we heard in the children's story. Mary went from being Mary ready to, I mean, everything started perfect, right? She's found a great guy. They've fallen in love. They're going to get married. And all you need is a happily ever after. It's all coming, right? And then God comes along and says, through the angel, and says, Mary, I'd like to talk to you. Okay. Well, here's what we'd like to do. And it turns her life upside down. And not all of it in a way that we would think, oh, that's fixed now. Socially, everyone else in her village finds out she's pregnant and goes, She's just been pushed out of the inner social circle. And then she heads off to Bethlehem. And instead of going home, you know, little house, white picket fence and all that, what does she get? Run off to Egypt. Do you hear what this is saying? When God says, hi, I'd like to transform your life, it doesn't always make it easier. Sometimes it gets really tough. Are you sure you're good for this event? I'm going to let you work on the rest of that one too. One more thing that comes in here. I really will stop after that. Sometimes we come before God and say, there's some broken stuff in my life that needs fixing, that needs transforming. And God says, no. Remember Paul in 2 Corinthians 12? He says, he begged God to take away the thorn in the flesh. Now, we don't know what that was. Some people think it was his eyes, because in one passage it talks about him struggling to read. Some people think it's another physical ailment. I read through his books and I see the emphasis he has, and I wonder if what Paul struggled with wasn't his thought life. And he says, they didn't even have computers then and they could still struggle. And I wonder if Paul was saying, God, please just take this away. And God says no. Why does God say no? He says no because leaving that there, he says, my grace is sufficient for you. We'll work it out, he says. I'm not abandoning you. What I'm saying is, we're going to leave that there, and that's going to keep you turning my way. Because it's so easy when everything gets put together that we say, thank you very much, God. Check in with you when I got another problem. And what this says is, I think we're going to need to stay in constant contact. And so Paul had to continue to go back for that grace, and God kept him focused on where God needed him focused. And so it is with us as well. There are times in our life when there's things going on, health or relationships or whatever struggle it is, and we pray and we pray and we pray, God, just take it away. And God's response is, it's going to be okay. I'm going to hold your hand. We're going to make it through this, but this is going to keep you close. That's the call for transformation. And it's a mystery about how God works. And we always wish that it would be easy. But following God always invites, like we stick out a finger and he says, I'll take the whole thing, please. And he draws us in. And that's today as well. He draws us in. The mystery of God's dwelling in transformation, it doesn't make our lives easier. It doesn't make it more simple. But it invites us, like Mary and Joseph, to abandon ourselves in him, to say, okay, God, okay, I'm in. I'm going to struggle once in a while, and I'm going to head the other direction once in a while. But I want you to transform my life. I want to reflect the character of Jesus. Give me strength. to trust that him with our lives, even when he doesn't do things that we would like him to do. May God give you wisdom to see, strength to respond, and the deep, deep sense of joy that comes from, like Mary and Joseph, abandoning ourselves in him. Amen.